Yeah, I want you to keep on thinking about that concept about grace greater than all our sin, because that's the theme of this, what I want to talk about. So would somebody read Luke 7, 36 to 47?
36, Luke 7. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with them, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when this Pharisee who had invited saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this was who was touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." What verse did you say I'm going to? Sorry. I'll finish the chapter then.
47.
You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven."
Okay, that's good. Okay, I want to begin talking a little bit about Simon. Simon, he was really big into parties. He was a well-known guy in the town. I don't know what town it was, but he was known for throwing big parties. And I believe this was going to be another one of those great parties at Simon's house. He had really good sandwiches. They weren't dry. He had classy food. It was catered, you know. He had really nice, the good wine, you know. And Simon, he was a smart guy. He thought, yeah, he was smart. He was a witty guy. He was a Pharisee, you know. He studied a lot, and he couldn't wait to just show it off, how he had, you know, all this knowledge, and he wanted to show off how smart he was. So he invited all the, you know, I think the who's who of town, the intelligentsia, the you know, the mayor maybe. And that was really the reason why he invited Jesus over, I think. You know, he had this reputation of Simon the Pharisee, and he liked that reputation. And I think he was trying to use Jesus to make his reputation a little better even. He was using Jesus to enhance his own reputation as the big man in town type of thing. So, you know, he had it, I think, all figured out how people would leave this party and they'd be really talking about Simon's party, you know, and about how he was so smart and wow, look, man, I never thought of that. I mean, that he sure had some good questions, didn't he? And he really stumped that rabbi, didn't he? He's like Socrates. He's a regular Socrates. So then the party gets started, and the wine's good, and the sandwiches are great, and people are talking, you know, and having a good time. They're just getting started, and they're starting asking these questions, you know, philosophical, smart questions about the law and about the Tanakh and the Torah, and throwing in a lot of Greek, you know, showing off that they knew this Greek. And then this woman barges into the house. I don't know what her name is. Let's call her Mary. She just bursts in. She's not invited. She just ignores Simon, who's the party, head of the party, right? And she goes straight to Jesus. She goes straight to Jesus' feet and she starts crying and she starts pouring perfume on his feet, alabaster perfume, and wiping his feet and washing his feet with her hair. And everybody's just shocked and looking at that. And what's Simon thinking? Well, he knew that his party was not going to be about him anymore. And he knew that whenever anybody talked about this party, nobody's going to remember anything that Simon said. He was right about that. They're only going to remember this embarrassing incident where everybody was uncomfortable. And this woman who everybody knew, maybe some of them knew too well, she just burst in and made a scene. And Simon's thinking, this party just, it's ruined. And he's just looking at this woman with just disgust and looking at Jesus with disgust and thinking, ah, this has just turned into a real, exactly what I couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse. I planned for something so nice where we were going to talk about, you know, smart things and learn things and everybody'd feel great. And look at this now, it's just ruined. My party's ruined and everybody's going to remember this embarrassing incident. And Mary, let's talk about Mary now. When she heard that Jesus was in town, she figured it out right away that this was Jesus' party. It wasn't about Simon. Jesus was the party. And she understood that the party was at Jesus' feet. More than that, she understood that the party is always at Jesus' feet. That's where things happen. That's the important thing. The party is always at Jesus' feet. There's another Mary in the Bible who seemed to understand this. In Luke 10:36, Jesus and his disciples, they were on the way to a village, and a woman named Martha opened her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, listening to what he said. And Martha, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came and asked Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed. In fact, it's only one thing. And Mary has chosen that thing. And it'll not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? This other Mary? She was sitting at Jesus' feet. She understood that the party was at Jesus' feet. That was the place to be. And Jesus said, that's the only thing that's needed. One thing is needed. And Mary's figured it out. This other lady, she figured it out that the party was at Jesus' feet. Now, some of us like parties more than others. At Chris's place, there's always some semi-party going on. He's good at parties, you know, a kind of a gathering place. Some people like parties at clubs, right? A lot of parties are by invitation only. I lived in Sarawak in the city of Kuching for a while, and we went to this church there, and there was this club called the Sarawak Club. And it was really nice. We had this friend called Jit and his wife Audrey that he was a member of the Sarawak Club, and he used to take us there on Sundays. Maybe we go twice a month or so. He loved going there because he was a member of the Sarawak Club. It was kind of an elite club. It was founded in 1850, and it was built with all this, billion wood, and really back in the colonial. It was a big colonial building, and you could play golf and tennis, and they had a pool there, and it actually had burnt to the ground in 1999, but they rebuilt it the same way with this big old all colonial. And well, he just loved going to that club, the Sarawak Club. He always, okay, we're going to go to the club. We're going to go to the Sarawak Club. And it was where the elite of Kuching would hang out, you know, the businessmen and all that. And so he'd pay for a lunch. It was kind of a fun place, really. There's an elite club of Christians too. John Piper talks about that. It's called the Forgiven Much Club. Mary was in that club. She was in the Forgiven Much Club. There's a few other people in the Bible who I think we're pretty certain are in the club. In Luke 18:10, there was a certain tax collector. And they went up to the temple. One was a tax collector and one was a Pharisee. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people, like those robbers, evildoers, adulterers. I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a month. I give a tenth of all I get." The tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." But I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified by God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Tax collector, he was in that Forgiven Much Club. One of the criminals on the cross was in the Forgiven Much Club. Luke 23:39. There was one of the criminals who hurled insults at Jesus on the cross. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself on us." The other criminal rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God? You're under the same sentence, and we're being punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man's done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom." And Jesus said, "I tell you truly, you're going to be with me in paradise." The criminal on the cross was at the elite club. I think he was in the Forgiven Much Club. The Forgiven Much Club. One time I was in a church in Burnaby, and it was in a basement. It was a Spanish church. And I went in there and I sat in the second row. And the guy who sat in front of me, he was annoying me so much because he was clapping too loud, and he was looking around, and he was just, you know, drawing so much attention to himself. He was just looking at me, and he was just, you know, moving jerkily. And I just kept on thinking, I like singing in Spanish because I talk Spanish, but I really wish I would have sat somewhere else. Why did I have to sit right here in front of this guy who's just annoying me so much? He's just so distracting. And then halfway through the song service, the pastor, he said, "Does anybody have any prayer requests?" And this guy, he just jumped up and he put his face down. It was like 2 feet to where the altar was. And he put his face down on the ground there. And he just said, "Te necesito, Jesus. Te necesito, Jesus. Te necesito, Jesus. Te necesito." That's all he said. "I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus." And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, the Lord said to me, "Do you need me as much as this man needs me?" "Yes. Yes, Lord, I do." And after the service, I might have preached, I don't know, but this guy, there was a time of fellowship after, and he just ran to me and he said, "I gotta tell you, I was on the streets of Hastings and Maine for 10 years. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be dead. Jesus saved me." And he just was just so excited about what God had done in his life, because he was in the Forgiven Much Club. He was in the club. But not Simon. In fact, Simon, he didn't even want to be associated with the Forgiven Much Club. He was in the club of those who've been forgiven little. That's what he thought anyway. He thought, "Well, I haven't really done anything that bad." And that's where he wanted to be. That's the club he wanted to belong to. He wanted to belong with those guys who really didn't have much to confess or be ashamed of. Mary, she wasn't ashamed at all of being in the Forgiven Much Club. I mean, everybody in town knew her, and she wasn't at all ashamed of it. And she was telling everybody about it. She was just open about what the Lord had saved her from, what Jesus had done for her. She said, "There's just no way I'm denying it. I'm in the club. I'm in the Forgiven Much Club. I have been forgiven much." Me too, Mary. I want to be in that club. When I think of my life, where I would be if it wasn't for God, if Jesus hadn't had mercy on me, when I think of where my addictions would have led me, when I think of where my pride would have carried me, my hatred, where that would have taken me in my life, if it wasn't for Jesus, me too, Mary. All I can do is just do the same thing that Jesus, that Mary did to Jesus. All I can really do is just stand at Jesus' feet like Mary did, weeping with gratitude, weeping with love. He who has forgiven much loves much. Me too, Mary. Me too. I want to be in that club. I'm in that club. I'm in the forgiven much club. I don't want to forget it. I want to remember that all the time.